Good morning, everybody, again. Good to be back again with you. Did you guys enjoy Phil last week? I figured after a steady diet of speakers named John, it was time to get a steady diet of speakers named Phil. So it's good to be back. Just real quick, how many of you actually really do New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Okay, we got a couple. Good for you. Yeah, sort of. You know, one of the common New Year's resolutions is to lose weight, right? So we've got New Year's resolutions. There we go. Next one. So New Year's resolution, option A, lose weight or buy a bigger basket. I want to share a story to highlight why it's so difficult to keep a resolution to lose weight. In the 14th century, in what's now Belgium, there was a duke by the name of Reinald III. I believe we have a picture here. You can see Reinald was a very, very large man. He was known by his nickname, which was the Fat, literally. That's what they called him. He had a younger brother, and at one point, he and his younger brother had this very violent quarrel. His brother Edward then decided to lead a revolt and overthrew his brother Reinald. But Edward decided not to kill his brother. Instead, what he did is he literally built a room. This is a true story. He literally built a room around Reinald in the Newkirk Castle. And he told Reinald that he was able to get his property back, his title back, as soon as he could leave the room. The windows were not barred. The door was not locked. The only problem was he was too big to fit through the door. So if he wanted to free himself, he was going to have to lose weight. And that's all it would take. But Edward knew his brother really, really well. So guess what he did? Every single day, he sent up a smorgasbord of delicious foods, knowing that his brother would not be able to resist them. And sure enough, Reinald was not able to resist the temptation. So instead of dieting his way out of imprisonment, he kept getting fatter. Now, people accused Edward of being cruel, but he just said, "My brother's not a prisoner. He is free to leave whenever he so wills." But he was never able to make that choice. He was never able to accomplish his freedom. His choices, his poor choices, kept him imprisoned. In the same way, our poor choices keep us imprisoned. Romans 6 tells us that we are slaves to sin. Romans 6:23 says the cost of that sin is death. Our sins have us imprisoned, and that's our problem. That's where we're stuck. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with these sins that mess us up so badly? The ones that, you know, that we just keep repeating, right? And repeating and repeating. We never seem to be able to break them, and they get us in trouble. They hurt our marriages. They hurt our relationships with our kids or with our parents. They hurt us at work. They keep us from being successful. They hurt our confidence. They damage our character. You know, those sins that Satan just kind of keeps serving up to us as delicious temptations, and we keep gobbling them up and never can escape. How do we deal with those? I've got good news this morning, because I'm not here this morning to dwell on hopelessness. I'm not here this morning to dwell on the failures of the past. This is Making All Things New Sunday. That's what we're going to talk about. It's because the Bible not only clearly states our problem that we are a slave to sin, but it also clearly states that we can be set free. We can have a new life. So I want you to listen to what God says in Romans chapter 6. It's there in your bulletin notes. You can follow along on the screen. But Romans 6:1, this is an amazing passage. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Wow, that's a great passage. I want to dig into this passage so we can really absorb the incredible message. Romans 6 starts out with that question, shall we go on sinning? And the answer is, are you kidding? By no means. Why not? Because we have died to sin. That's what I want you to get. We have died to sin. Sin has to die or it's going to kill us. Sin has to be removed from our life. A year ago, 12 months ago, I found out I had prostate cancer. So I had surgery. My prostate was removed. It had to go. Either it went or I would go. Either I had to remove it or it would kill me. It had to go. It was a really simple decision. Same thing with sin. Either it has to go or it's going to kill us. And before it kills us, it's going to make our lives absolutely miserable. And we've all experienced this. So it's got to die. It's got to go. And when we believe in Jesus, when we put our lives in Jesus' hands, Romans 6 tells us, we die to sin. It's removed. It's taken away because Jesus died to sin once and for all. It's done. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. That's the good news. Are you hearing it? Are you hearing what God says? You have died to sin. You have been set free from sin. And that's exciting. It's really exciting to know that we have been set free from sin. What's more exciting is what we are set free for. We've been set free from sin, but the more exciting thing is what we're set free for. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We've been set free from sin so that we can be able to live a new life. We're not set free from sin so that we can continue sinning. We have not been forgiven as a license to just keep on doing it and be forgiven and do it and forgive it. No, we've been set free to live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So what is this new life? What is this new life that we can live for? That's a really important question, maybe a more important question than you realize, because we need to know whether or not this life is worth it. We need to know whether or not this new life is worth the commitment. Is it worth dying to our old self, or is it worth leaving this life of sin and all these delicious temptations in order to leave? Is it worth it? Because if we're not sure it's worth it, then all of our religious practices, our church attendance, it's just a dead religion of oughts. I ought to pray, but I'm not sure it's worth it. I ought to read my Bible, but I'm not sure it's worth it. I ought to come to church and worship, but it's a beautiful day. I ought to not do that sin. Oughts are deadening. Oughts are killers. When we do things because we ought to do them, we will not do them for very long. We'll give up. We'll quit. We need to want to do it. We need to want to live for Christ, not ought to live. We need to know if this new life is something that we really want. That's why it's so important to know what this new life is. Is it something we want to have? And the Bible is full of descriptions of what this new life is like. This new life that God wants to pour into us. So I'm just going to today just give you the big picture view, all right? Just a taste, but everything I'm going to share today, it could be drilled down on. And the more you dig into it, the richer and richer it gets. This new life is described in Galatians chapter 5 as a life of love, joy, a peace that goes beyond understanding, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Look at that list. If that was all this new life was, wouldn't that be a fantastic life? Wouldn't our marriages be wonderful if we had that kind of character? Our families, wouldn't they be this incredible thing? Would we not love to live in a community where love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control is just normal and natural? That's the kind of life God wants to give to us. Something that's going to make our lives better, our marriages better, our families better, our communities better, our church better. But that's just the beginning. The Bible also describes this life as a life of generosity instead of greed. What kind of friend would you rather have, a generous one or a greedy one? A life of warm compassion instead of cold retribution. A life of honesty and trustworthiness instead of deception. Again, what kind of friend would you rather have? A life of strength instead of collapsing under hard circumstances. A life of courage instead of fear. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus describes this new life he wants to give as a light that lights up a dark room, as a city on a hill that's all lit up so that everybody can see it on its glory. He describes it as a life that shines, and everybody can see it shining. In John 10:10, Jesus describes it as a life of fulfillment. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, instead of this endless searching for something that will give us meaning. Paul teaches us that this is a life where we do not allow class or ethnicity or education or politics to divide us, because Christ unites us. It's a life where we're becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And we're becoming more and more the people God created us to be. The people we are meant to be. That God wants us to be, that God knows we are. It's a life where by our very nature, we're a blessing to other people. We're blessing them with our compassion and our love and our joy and our trustworthiness. And as they are blessed, we are blessed because we're blessed by seeing other people be blessed. That's the kind of new life God promises, God offers. We're set free from sin so we can live this new life. And that's just a sampling. That's just a taste. It's a life where we're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. It's a life you can have. This is not make-believe. This is not wishful thinking. This is not Pollyanna. This is a life we were meant to have, we were created to have. This is a life that God came down to earth and died on the cross so that we could have. This is the life we can all have. It's a life I'm sure you're beginning to experience. Many of you are starting to experience this life. This is the life that I'm experiencing. Not perfectly. I have a long ways to go in every single one of those categories. But I am experiencing it. And day by day, week by week, month by month, I'm experiencing more love, more joy, more compassion, more kindness. God is developing that in me. More generosity, more honesty, more courage. Those are the things God's developing in me that God wants to develop in you. Through Jesus, we have been set free from sin, in order that we can live this incredible life for God. So how can we have this new life? How can we start experiencing all these things I'm talking about, this incredible new life? How can we allow God's power to begin to work in us so that we can actually die to sin and break all those sin habits that keep us imprisoned and allow God to transform our lives? It starts with the ABCs. A is accept. Accept your need. realize that you are imprisoned. We all are imprisoned by our sins. We're trapped by them, and they keep us cursed, and they keep our lives cursed. We're trapped by our bad choices. There is a way out, however. That takes us to B. We believe in Jesus. That Jesus is God who became flesh and in an unimaginable act of love died for our sins. In John 3:16, you probably know it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. So we accept our need. We believe that Jesus has come to set us free from that. We believe in him and all the work he's done. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your belief in Jesus. But then comes the C. After a believing comes the committing. Because we believe these things, we're going to do these things. Because we trust these things, we're going to commit to doing these things. And God has shown us in his word his ways for transforming our lives. His ways for us to tap into his power so that this new life can become an actual reality in our lives. So that day by day and week by week and month by month, more and more we're being transformed back to the image of God. Back to this life of Christ. Experiencing all these incredible things. These are the ways I'm going to be teaching over the next few weeks. God's ways for us to tap into this power that will allow his life to become real into us. So I'm going to teach you what these ways are, how to use these ways, and I'm going to challenge you to use them. Because we want to experience this new life. And then from there, we're going to move kind of almost seamlessly into another series on Psalm 23 called Stress Busters. And Psalm 23, we're most familiar with Psalm 23 as the psalm that's read at every funeral you ever go to, right? And there's a reason why. It powerfully speaks to people who are grieving. But sometimes then we connect Psalm 23 with death, when really Psalm 23 is all about life. How to have an incredible life. David in that psalm describes this life as a table set before you in the presence of your enemies. Of being anointed by God's presence. Of having goodness and love surround you wherever you go. Does that sound like a good life? What we're going to discover in this series is that Psalm 23, David is teaching us really, literally, a step-by-step method of experiencing that life. So we're going to work through Psalm 23 step by step to learn how we can experience that kind of life for ourselves. And it's going to combine the Sunday messages with a daily devotional book and then weekly small group studies. And each one of those things is one of the ways God uses to build into our lives. And so we're going to use all three basically to reinforce each other so that God can build into our lives. So I'm looking forward to that series. It can be life-changing. And I'm going to just plant the seeds now because I want everybody doing the daily devotions. I want everybody to be in a small group for that six-week period as we dig into Psalm 23 and let God speak to us. All because we want to experience this new life that Jesus has for us. And if you think I'm saying that you ought to do it, you haven't been paying attention. This is not something you ought to do. I'm hoping this is something you want to do because you want to experience this new life that God has for you. So that not only are you experiencing what you've been set free from, but you start to experience what you're being set free for. This incredible life of God. So we do it because we understand. We do it because we get it. These are the ways God uses to build that life into us so that we can leave behind that old life of sin that we're dead to and we can be raised to a new life. A new life that not only will transform us, but it will transform life all around us. Because as God changes us, he makes us change agents. As God blesses us, those blessings spill on other people. It's a new life that's completely worth it. And it starts by accepting and believing. So this morning I want to give you that opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never done so, this is your opportunity to break free of all those sins that you just can't help, but you just keep repeating and it keeps messing you up over and over again. Your ability to allow God to take over and set you free. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. And he rose again to show us that he has the power to give us new life. So this morning, let's bow our heads. And if you're ready to put your faith in Jesus, you can do it in a prayer. Just pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I need your forgiveness. I know I'm trapped in sins. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sins. I believe you rose from the dead to give me new life. So right now I commit all of my life for the rest of my life to following you. Come in, take over. And I thank you for your death on the cross. I thank you for the salvation you offer. I thank you that right now you have set me free from sin and entered my life. And I ask that you give me the power to break these sin habits. And I ask that you surround me with godly friends who will help me live for you. Teach me your ways. Give me the courage to follow you. And with everybody's head still bowed, still praying for the people around you, if you're someone who just prayed that prayer, just asked Jesus to come into your heart, just gave your life to Jesus, I'd like you to raise your hand. No one else is looking because I don't want to signal you out or embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you, celebrate with you, and come alongside you. If someone just prayed that prayer, if you just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God, I thank you for the way you're working and moving into people's lives. How you're speaking to us. Thank you for the people who raised their hands. I pray right now that they experience your presence and power in their life, that they know they have your power to set them free. For all of us, Lord, help us claim this truth that we are set free from sin. Help us to follow your ways, to honor you. Give us strength to turn away from the temptations. And fill our life with your fruit of love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, of generosity, honesty. May each day we experience more of this life and share more of this life. Pray in your name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to take our offering so you can prepare for that. If you're someone who just raised your hand this morning, there's a spot on the back of that connection card that you can check to say, I just accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'd appreciate it if you check that, because I'd like to send you some materials to help you grow in your faith. Please know that all of heaven is jumping up and down. I'm not jumping up and down because I'm about 80% today. But all of heaven is jumping up and down and is very excited. And I'm excited as well. Amen, amen. It's a good morning, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Next Sunday, don't forget our annual celebration, 6 o'clock at Antioch Covenant Church. We're going to have a great time there as we envision God's future for our church. So plan on being part of that. And as God has spoken to you, as God has blessed you, make sure you share it with others this week. Thank you for coming. May God bless you.